What an honor and a privilege it is to worship our Lord and Savior, our God and our Creator. I want to jump right into our lesson this morning, so let's turn to Romans chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verse 16. Now, once you get there, you might say, Jonathan, didn't you just preach that on Wednesday night? I told Clay it's okay to double dip. We're going to use this as a starting off point. We're going to talk about three types of believers. Let's read this again, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I hope that we have thought on this throughout this week to realize that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We recognize what it means to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we should not be that. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, since we looked at what it means to be ashamed or not ashamed, I thought it would be nice to go through a little bit further and talk about the belief that we have. Now, as I have divvied them out, and this is not an exhaustive list, but we're going to look at three types of believers. Three types of believers. Turn with me to James chapter 2. And we'll see our first type of believer. Now, when we say this word believer, we can also pair it with the idea of faith, which is what James is talking about in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 19 might be familiar to some of us as Bible students. We'll go back and read the rest of the context later on, but let's focus in on verse 19. He says, "You believe that there is one God." He says, "You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" The first type of believer that we're going to look at this morning and examine is those that believe but do nothing about it. We have a prime example here of the demons. The demons believe, they have seen God, they believe in God, but their actions, their works, is just to say contrary. They might believe, but they don't do anything about it. John chapter 12 tells us a similar story of people. John chapter 12, let's look there. John chapter 12 and verse 42. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," talking about Jesus. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. And he says that I've come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness.'" But what we read in James, and pairing that with this verse here, is that those that believe yet don't act on it have to be in darkness. Because even if you believe, yet you are not acting on it, Jesus says, you are workers of iniquity. You are sons of darkness. Turn a couple of chapters over to John chapter 8 as we continue to look at this first type of believer, the one that believes but does nothing about it. John chapter 8 and verse 31 says, "Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him and said, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. And so how can you say you will be made free?'" Stating that they would have been under bondage then. Verse 34 says, "Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father.' They answered and said to him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham.'" Remember, we're pairing this idea of belief and works. "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now, they said their father was Abraham. Jesus says, you need to do the deeds of your father. And he's kind of doing a bunch of wordplay there, saying that their father is not someone that they're doing, that they should be following. If they're doing the works of their father, they're doing the works of Satan, is what he's saying. The people believed in Christ as the divine teacher. We see that very clearly. They would go to him. They would question him. They believed that he had some kind of spiritual nourishment. And so they believed in him, and they believed in that aspect of the Christ. But they did not do anything because they relied on their birth connection to Abraham, saying that Abraham is our father, therefore we are saved. Now notice what Jesus says, and I don't want to dive too much into this because this is getting into one of our other categories. But he says, Abraham believed. But Abraham didn't stop there. Abraham did something with that belief. He did something with that faith. We're going to look in the book of Acts for just a moment at a couple of people who I think had some kind of small, we'll call it minuscule, some inkling of a belief or in a faith. Let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go in order. Go to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. This is Felix. Felix in Acts chapter 24 is being presented the gospel. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, who was that seed of Abraham, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call you." Felix was afraid, and that's such an interesting word to choose that Luke records for us, that as Paul is teaching, Felix is afraid as he's coming to hear what is true. Remember, what are the demons? The demons believe in God. The demons are afraid. The demons tremble. Here we see Felix trembling, I think, because of this minuscule amount of belief that he is beginning to have. Turn over a couple of chapters to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 tells us about Agrippa, a similar thing. Agrippa says to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Once again, that small part of the belief, but that belief is not what saves us. Did Agrippa go through with that belief towards its conclusion? Absolutely not. Almost persuaded is not the same as persuaded. Almost persuaded is not the same as being baptized for the remission of sins. Now, this can also be, we've looked at people who are outside of salvation. But this belief system, this believing and not doing anything, is especially dangerous to those that are within the fold of Christ, within the body of Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 tells about those that believe or have had or do have a faith, but they don't work. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 describes this first type of belief that we're looking at. Talking of false teachers, says, "For if," in verse 20 of Acts, 2 Peter chapter 2, "for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome." Now, I want us to think about what these kind of people would be. These kind of people would be those that had believed, had that true belief, that had a work attached to it, that were saved. But what do? They are again entangled in them, and they are overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And Peter says something very harshly. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And then he goes and quotes a proverb talking about a dog returning to its own vomit. There are those that a time ago had a faith, had a belief, and they had works paired with it. But once those works dwindle, and once those works go away, you have to question faith. It's not the faith that saves us. It is an active faith. It is a work-based faith. And so for those that would say, I haven't lost my faith, I told Bubba I was going to say this. Bubba and I were talking earlier. Bubba was talking about people who would just leave Jesus in the manger as they're talking about Jesus on Christmas. They just leave him in the manger and don't recognize him as our Lord and Savior. There are these people that will say, I haven't lost my faith, but I have to ask. You might know where it is. It's probably at home in the freezer. You're not doing anything with it. You're just trying to keep it there. Just keep it there as long as you can. Not doing anything with it. It's just sitting there. It's not doing anything. James chapter 2, let's go back and read the rest of this context. Looking at this first type of belief, we'll get into others later on. This first type of belief that would say that I believe, but I don't do anything about it. James chapter 2, and let's read this whole context. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he hath faith, but does not have works? James asks a rhetorical question. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Paul does not say is stored away in the freezer. Is not spoiled. Dead is what he says. It is faith without works is dead, cannot be kept alive. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In that verse we read, you believe that there's one God, you do well, because even the demons believe, and they tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And then he goes and quotes and talks about Abraham, which is the exact analogy that Jesus went to. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now notice he doesn't say justified by works only either. The title of this lesson is not works that we can do to be saved. The title of this lesson is I haven't named it a title, I'll make it one on the spot. But it's belief and an act of faith. Three types of believers. This first one that we've looked at is those that believe and they do nothing about it. Members of the body of Christ that do not show works are either dead or dying. It's said very, very clearly, very plainly in James. Let's make this application to us. Those within the church that do not show works are dead or dying. They don't give their utmost ability. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us that. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 24. Paul, trying to exhort those in the city of Corinth, says, therefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. These people, these ministers have gone around, these evangelists have gone to Corinth and seen things and have told other churches about Corinth. And Paul is saying, now when these preachers come back to you, basically don't prove me wrong, saying, you need to show us a proof of these things that we've been saying. Works. He believed they had faith. He believed that they believed, but they had to have works. I found a poem that I thought, I don't normally read poems or secular literature, but I thought it'd be a very good thing to bring out here. And it is, I better start giving to God as he is giving to me, lest he start giving to me as I am giving to him. So think about that for a second. God is giving so many great things to us. What are we giving him? Because it would be terrible if it was reversed, that God said, well, I'm going to start to give to Jonathan as Jonathan is giving to me. There are those that believe but don't have works. They don't go out and preach the gospel to their contacts. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us about this. We went and studied through 2 Timothy not long ago, so hopefully this is fresh on our minds as we're out and about in the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Beginning at this, the outset, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. 2, keep yourself safe and safeguarded from false teachers. But here is a command, not only given to Timothy, but given to us as well. And so I would posit that those that have a dead or dying faith are showing that by not teaching and not going out and talking to their contacts. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us another one. I want us to turn there and let's read Hebrews chapter 10. Members that don't show works either have a dead or dying faith. And here is an absence of a work. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 starting. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. There were those that the Hebrew writer is writing to, and he is telling them that there are some of you that are forsaking the assembly, not showing up to worship, not showing up to be with your brethren, not exhorting one another. And the Hebrew writer tells us here that that is the opposite of a good work. That is the absence of a good work. So that is the type one, those that believe and do nothing about it. That's really the one that we need to be fearful of. Those of us that are sitting in this audience, I believe that we believe. That's the one we need to be worried about. That we are not working. It's a double negative. That we are making certain that we are working. The second type of believer is those that do work, but they believe the wrong thing. Now, this is a lot of people outside of this building. A lot of people outside the body of Christ. They do work. They are zealous for good works, but they believe the wrong thing. It makes a difference what we believe. We've gone over that a lot in various sermons. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 to see this very clearly and very plainly. Romans chapter 10 verses 1 through 3 tells us this. Looking at this believer that does work but believes the wrong thing, Paul writes to the Romans, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal. They have the works, but it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Matthew 15 tells us something very similar. Matthew 15 and verse 7. Matthew 15 and verse 7, Jesus is talking to the elders, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, talking about the traditions that they have made up, and they're holding fast to these traditions, and Jesus condemns them because of their attitude, not because of their works per se, but because their attitude about the works and the belief that they had. Let's look at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 15. He says, Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The work there is the drawing near and the honoring with the lips. That's the good work. That's something that we should be doing. But their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The greatest example I can think of this would be Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had a belief, had a zeal, but it was placed in the wrong thing. He had the works. Acts chapter 3, we can look at that story just briefly. Acts chapter 3, Saul of Tarsus, being a Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin, greatly honored among the Jews as someone who had knowledge. Acts chapter 3 and verse, we'll look at verse 11 to begin. Let's skip on down to verse 17. That's not the right verse. But as we think of Saul of Tarsus and the things that he did, I think the verse there that I was looking at was that they believed that they did the wrong things, but that's not talking about Saul of Tarsus, that's Peter. But thinking of Saul of Tarsus, as he was zealous, remember, he did everything with a good conscience. He did everything with a good conscience. What he believed, he did the good works for. He believed that those that claimed to be the Son of God and claimed to worship the Son of God, he believed that was wrong. And so he fulfilled the law, best as he understood the law. He killed, persecuted, drugged to prison all of these people. Those that work but believe the wrong thing. Think about those in Ephesus that believed in the baptism of John. Those in Ephesus that believed in the baptism of John believed in the wrong thing, but were doing the right works. They were baptized. And once they came to the fulfillment of the knowledge, they were baptized again, doing the right works. The first type of person that we've looked at is those that believe and do nothing. That's the one we need to worry about. Next one is the ones that do the work but believe the wrong thing. Also, need to be a little cautious of that one too, to make certain that we believe the right thing so our works are well placed. Those that we need to be is our final one. This is those people that believe the right thing and act on it. Believe the right thing and act on it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 gives us a great commendation of this kind of people. I'm not going to read all of Peter's sermon, but he says on the day of Pentecost, this is 50 days after the Passover, 50 days or so after the death of Jesus. Still fresh in people's minds. They had just put to death this man they called Jesus, who we call the Christ. And Peter says to them, standing up in front of them all on the day of Pentecost, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, and God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." There's that belief. You yourselves know that he did these things. "Him being delivered by determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And he goes on to talk about how David is dead. We know where his tomb is, but we believe that Christ is raised because we know where his tomb is as well, and he's not there. And so look at what they do. Peter says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That faith is there. The belief is there. The belief in the right thing is there. They just had a sermon preached to them on the right thing. Now they're asking for, what works do we need to do? Because they understand that a true belief has to be paired with works. And so Peter tells them. Peter says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God called." Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Looking at those that believe the right thing and act on it, we can't help but think of the eunuch a couple of chapters later. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. The eunuch answered Philip after he had been taught the right thing. Remember, Philip is teaching the gospel to this eunuch. He says, "Whom does the prophet of this say this, of himself or some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth, And beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus, preached truth, preached the right thing. Now, as they went down the road, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Recognizing a work tied with a belief. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And what did he do? Philip didn't just say, "All right, on your way now. You said the words, you believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to go teach someone else." What he says is that, "Yes, I recognize you believe in Jesus the Christ, and let's do something about it." That first work that needs to be done, baptism. The Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts is ripe with people having a true belief, knowing the right thing, and doing a work. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. So they said, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then, keep on going down what they do. And immediately, he and all of his family were baptized, pairing that belief with a work. The Philippian church is an excellent example of those that believed and had a true faith and did things about it. So I want us to go through, as we come to a close, just a couple of examples in the Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Paul, writing to them, says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." The Philippian church believed that they should do a good work, and they did a good work because of what we see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you also." They had the faith, but they didn't just say, "Yep, I believe that Paul will be fine. On your way, we have nothing for you." What they did is they said, "I believe that Paul will be okay, and here's a work to make sure that he's okay." The same thing applies to our salvation. It's not enough to just say, "I believe in the Bible," unless we're doing things to make it certain. We do the same thing with prayer. Often when we're teaching young children how to pray, or we're going over prayer ourselves, we remind ourselves that if we are just asking God for something and not doing anything to change it, we shouldn't expect anything to happen. That's that idea of giving to God what we want God to give to us, is really what that is. Or recognizing what God has given to us and giving the same to God, really, is what that is. The Philippians believed that they should live godly, and they did. We see that from Philippians chapter 2, a couple of chapters back. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Not just believe in your own salvation, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." We've looked at three types of believers this morning. Three types of belief paired with action. Those that believe and do nothing about it. And that's the one I want us to be very worried about, because I believe that we all believe, but we need to make certain that we are doing something about our belief. And we've talked about what some basic works can be. Those basic works can be showing up to services. Those basic works can be helping wherever you see someone need help. Studying, sharing the Word of God, preaching to others, giving to God as God has given to you. The other one that we looked at is those that work but do the wrong thing. And that's why we are always studying to show our works to be approved by God, to show ourselves approved of God. And our final one is those that believe the right thing and act upon it. And that's the one that we're striving to be. Those that believe the exact right thing and act upon it. As we close, I have a question for us. So I want us to turn back to James, where we started off at. James chapter 2, and the end of that passage is where I'm going to draw our question from. James also mentions Rahab, talking about Rahab and her works. But then in the end of this chapter, verse 26, is where I want to close with. He He says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So my question for us is, our faith a corpse? Really a zombie. Is our faith a corpse without a spirit? Notice what that would be. Let's compare this analogy. The body without the spirit is dead. Are we a body without a spirit? Is our faith absent from works? If it is, it's dead. Your faith is dead. Or your faith is dying and it will soon be dead. Flip that. Are you just a spirit without a body? Are you just a ghost moving through life without working on something, without that tangible body to get things done? So as we go throughout this week, our questions are that we're going to ponder and think about and contemplate and study. Is our faith a corpse without a spirit? Or is your faith a spirit without a body? Because we should have both. We should have both a body and a spirit so we can have a living faith. Living. A perfectly active faith based in not only the faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, faith in the gospel and its message and its power to salvation, as we looked at in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, but also paired with action. We've talked briefly just about the actions that are necessary for salvation. The actions necessary for salvation and an entrance into the body of Christ is that of baptism. Baptism is an immersion in water fully for the remission of sins. We see that very clearly in the New Testament. It is based on a belief. It is based on faith. And that is one of the first works that you can do to show that. And that work will give you full remission of sin. Now, the other works are too numerable to mention. I suggest you to read this book, this Bible, which means book of books. Read these books. There's where all of our works are. All of our works are in this book that we can do in order to have salvation. But you have to take that first step. If you haven't taken that first step, or you've taken that step before, but you realize that your faith is dead, and you need repenting of sins, I ask that you would come forward while we stand and while we sing the selected hymn.